Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
So who here likes to go on vacation?
I love vacation.
And David and I got to go on a dream vacation this summer. We went to London. And when we went to London, we got to go to Windsor Castle. And at Windsor Castle, that's where the Queen actually lives. So they have all of these guards out there with these things. I thought they were like historical guns. And they have the big bayonets with the sword on the end and the big hats. And they are there to guard the Queen. But I also thought they were there because it's a tourist attraction. So you have access to these guards, and the big thing is to try and make them laugh. So I did my best to try and make them laugh, and I took this picture of me just acting like a fool. But leave that picture up for just a minute, because I want you to notice something. You see, he's there on purpose. He's actually a real guard. That's like a real AR-15 or AK-47 or some initials with some numbers that I don't know about. And he's there to guard the Queen, something valuable. So he's not allowed to be distracted so that someone else could come around the other way. He's not allowed to laugh for sure, and he's not even allowed to smile. So the big trick is you get up there, you try and act all funny, and if you look at his eyes, he's not even looking at me. Thank you, guys. What he's doing his job, guarding the Queen because she's valuable. So next day we go to the Tower of London because, you know, when you go across the pond, you want to see everything that there is to see. And as I go to see it, there's these guards everywhere, man, big hats, doing their little funky steps, holding their guns. And what I didn't know about the Tower of London is it houses the largest diamond in the world, 500 carats. All the ladies in the house say amen, Jesus, 500 carats. I'm like, baby, you got to go to a pawn shop. You got to upgrade or something, 500 carats. I mean, I just have a carat top. So they're there to guard the most valuable diamond in the world. Well, you know, we guard things that are valuable to us, and we don't guard things that aren't valuable to us. Your trash. How many of you guys take your garbage to the sidewalk, to the curb, the night before the trash comes? Because you don't want that beep, beep, beep sound to hit before your alarm, or you run down to the garage, grab the trash, you meet the trash man, don't leave, don't leave! You get down there because it already smells, and he looks at you in your pajamas, and you're like, hi. But we take our trash the night before because we don't care if somebody takes it. It's not valuable to us. Actually, if somebody took it, we wouldn't have to pay the trash man and all would be good. It would be great. So we don't guard things that aren't valuable, and we do guard things that are valuable. But sometimes we have to realize whether or not something is valuable so that we will guard it. You know, I think we forget that we are valuable, that we are created in Christ Jesus, that we are created in his image, that he loves us so much. When he thought of all of eternity, he decided exactly where we would be born, exactly who we would be born to. He decided who would be influenced in our life and who we would influence in our life. He created us on purpose, and he created us with a destiny. He created us with every hair on our head in mind because he knew you are his baby, you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to be a light that shines on a hill to draw other people unto him, to have a voice into people's lives that nobody else can take. You are valuable. But we don't necessarily always think about guarding us or guarding our heart. You know, it says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, Solomon, wisest king of all, he says, above everything else, guard your heart. Everything that you do comes from your heart. Then it says in the Darby translation, keep your heart more than anything that is guarded. More than anything. How many of you have stuff in your house that you would guard? You have maybe money that you would take care of, or jewelry, or if the house starts to burn down, maybe you would run and get your photo albums and your videotapes. There is something in your house that you would guard. It says we're supposed to guard our heart, put more thought about guarding our heart than anything that is valuable to us. And I'm here to prove to you that we will do crazy things when we think that what we think is valuable in our life is under attack. You see, it was just a couple weeks ago, Ashton went to spend the night with a friend. And in our house, Ashton has her own room. It's a blessing. She's 11 years old. But it must be just for show because she doesn't sleep there. She sleeps in our room on a blow-up mattress. It's awesome. Romantic night. We come in. We all climb into bed together, the three of us. And at some point in the middle of the night, she moves over to an air mattress 3 feet from our bed. It's so cool. I love you, baby. Well, she'd spent the night with a friend this night. We go to bed, we fall asleep, and it's about 3 a.m, and I hear, "Mom, Mom." Well, immediately I pull the 3 a.m. mom voice, and I go, "What?" Nobody responds. "Mom, Mom." I do the next thing that every parent does. You reach in the bed to see if the other parent is awake so that they can possibly handle it. And when I reach over there, I realize David's gone. Well, where's David? "Mom, Mom." At that point, I sit up, I turn on the light, and I look around the room. David's gone. Ashton's not in her bed. I realize she's not even here. She spent the night with her friend. "Mom, Mom." What do I do? Well, I have a CCW. You might not believe in guns. With my past, I do believe in guns. I shovel in my stuff. I get my stuff out. I get my gun out. I immediately back up to the wall. The bedroom door is closed over here. I check the bathroom. I close that bathroom door. And "Mom, Mom" is coming from outside the bedroom window, just right over there. So I do what every strong woman would do with a gun in her hand at that moment. I call for my husband. "David Craig! David Craig!" I scream at the top of my lungs for about 15 minutes, and nothing happens. The voice calling "Mom" is gone, but my husband is gone. My child isn't home. I don't know what's going on. I finally sneak over to the bedroom door. I open the door real fast. Nobody's out there, because I thought they might be right outside my door. And I continue to scream for about 5 more minutes. I'm 10 seconds away from hitting the panic button on the alarm. And out comes my husband from the Ashton's bedroom, because she's not using it, going, "What's going on?" You see, he had been snoring, and he didn't want to wake me up. So his little sweet self took himself to another bedroom. He was snoring so loud, woke himself up, so he took a Tylenol PM to sleep through it. And after the other services, everybody was asking me, "Who was yelling, 'Mom, Mom'?" And all we can figure out is that maybe there was a bobcat. We live in the woods, surrounded by deer and foxes and wolves. And all we can figure is maybe a bobcat was out there going, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom." We don't know what it was, but what I do know is that I was willing to guard my family because they're valuable to me. We're willing to guard the things that are valuable to us. We have to be willing to guard our heart just the same way. But it's kind of hard to guard something that you don't really know what it is. Our heart is the same thing. The Bible also uses the word heart, and it kind of uses the word soul interchangeably. So if you see heart in your Bible, if you see soul in your Bible, those two words are interchangeable. But what do they mean? They mean your mind. That is your what you think, the thoughts that happen in your head. They mean your will, which is your do or your do not do. I do stay on a diet or I do not stay on a diet. And it means your emotions, which is I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm happy 10 minutes later. Your emotions. So our heart is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the Bible says about our mind in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For he has thought in his soul," which is our heart, our mind, our will, and our emotions, "so is he." So as we think in our mind, so as we think in our will, so as we think in our emotions, so is he. That's how you are. So the things that you hear affect you. The things that influence you affect you. The people that you get around, they affect you because our thoughts often dictate who we become. You know, there was another guy in ministry in our city, and he didn't come to Faith Church. He wasn't involved here, but he was involved in a place that taught the word, a place that was strong, a place that was real. And he was actually on staff there. Well, he started sliding back and not behaving the way he should in his private life. And he started sliding back and started having an affair with another woman. And he started sliding back and being influenced by people who weren't living the way he knew to live. And they started telling him, "Man, if you only weren't married, man, if you get divorced, you're going to have to pay this child support. What are you going to do? How are you going to live this life, man?" And he started freaking out about it. Well, a man with godly teaching under bad influence at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, he actually ended up murdering his wife and his children right here in St. Louis. Well, that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to protect our heart with all diligence. He wants us to have access to the right people, access to the right word. And that is why coming to church every single week is so absolutely vital for you to be able to protect your heart so you can hear the word of God. Getting involved in an iConnect, it gets you around people who you can take off that mask and get to know one another. So when you start sliding back, they might notice and just say, hey, what's the state of your soul? How are you doing? And you can start sharing with somebody so that we don't go down that wrong road, because protect your heart with all diligence. Out of it proceeds the very issues of life. The issues of life, the opposite of that, are the issues of death. So if we don't protect our heart with all diligence, what will proceed out of it are the issues of death. And we don't want death to our finances or death to our relationship or death to our family. We want what the word says, and we want life. I'll be satisfied. My mouth will be satisfied with good things, and my youth will be renewed like the eagle. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. We want that part. And that's why we have to be super careful what we access our heart to. You might have saw me just looking around there for a second. I was looking for a volunteer, and I pick you. Did you see him raise his hand? He didn't. Come on up here and give him a hand. Well, he comes on up. You're going to help me do something. You don't have to talk. You don't have to do much. All you have to do is stand face forward. Look at those guys. I know they're scary, right? It's all right. And what we're going to do is we're going to use him for a kinesiology exercise. A kinesi? Who? My knees are right here. They aren't over there. And there's no ology about them. That was a joke. Kinesiology is basically how the body works. It's kind of like nature. And there's this exercise that shows the power that your heart actually knows what's good for you. And if you do what's good for you, it brings strength or weakness to your body. So I brought up one of my favorite things from my teenage years. And I'm fasting right now, and it smells like heaven. I love Big Mac so much that I remember the song from when I was a teenager that went, Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pound of French fries, acid coke, thick shake, sundaes, and apple pie. How many of you know you've got like a favorite on the menu? And I know we're not going to admit in church that we actually eat this stuff, but how many of you will admit at church you have tasted a Big Mac? You know, I really think it's healthy for you. It has lettuce.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, well, first of all, let's just get a metric. So just put your arm straight out like this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to push on it. And when I push on it, you resist me. Don't let me push your arm down. Oh, wow, you're strong.
You're strong.
Okay. He said, I'm strong. I like you. We're going to get along. So now you just take this and hold it to your heart like this and put your arm straight out. Okay, so have we talked about this?
No.
No? All right, cool. Oh. No, seriously, resist me with all you got. Okay, cool. Now, I'm not going to leave him here because his wife is here. She's pretty. And she's like, my strong husband, what just happened to him? I don't even know. Your heart knows what is good for you, and it will weaken you. You will be weak when you are not around those things that feed you properly. But when you are around those things that feed you properly, when you are around those things that bring you strength, when you encourage yourself with the Word of God, or you even just hold the Word of God up to your heart, it will bring you strength. It will bring you strength that I could not bring his body down with my body weight. Now, we didn't practice that. We didn't do it before. Now, you would think that he would be weaker at the end because, you know, we did all those other times first, but we're going to do it one more time. Put your arm up. Look at what the Word of God will do for you. Thank you very much. Everybody say, guard your heart. With all diligence. When you put the Word of God in your heart, when you protect yourself with God's Word, when you spend time in devotion and prayer, when you surround yourself with godly people at church and in iConnects, when you tune into podcasts and you listen to the Word of God, it will strengthen you. And we can say, when I am weak, He is strong. And He can give us that strength in that moment when we don't think we have strength, as long as we guard our heart. Touch your neighbor and tell him, guard your heart. But you might feel a little condemned right now. You might be thinking, but you know, I ate the Big Mac last week, and you know, I'm not like that guy who did those terrible things, but I've snapped at my family, and I've been angry, and I've did bad things. Maybe I'm condemned. Is my heart bad? I didn't guard my heart. What do I do now? Well, I'll tell you what, just because we do stupid things doesn't mean that we have a bad heart. All humans do stupid things. You know, there was this preacher who wanted to buy a lawnmower, so he went to Craigslist. And when he went to Craigslist, he bought it from a guy who said it ran great. Took it home and tried to use the lawnmower. Wouldn't start, wouldn't start, wouldn't start. Tried to start it about 3 times, took it back to the guy. He said, "Hey man, you ripped me off. You told me this lawnmower worked great. It doesn't work at all." He said, "Oh, the lawnmower runs great, but you just have to cuss like a sailor to start it." Preacher said, I've been saved for decades. I don't even think I remember language like that. I can't do that. And the man said, "Oh, you don't have to try. It'll just come natural about the fifth pull." Great people do silly things. Just because you have a past, and that past might be as recent as last night, it doesn't mean that God's holding that against you. God's not looking to push you down. God is looking to lift you up and hold you and redeem you and love you and forgive you. There's a man in the Bible, his name is King David, and he was up on his rooftop of his castle during a time of war. Now, a time of war is when the king was supposed to be with the men out in the field, so he was in the wrong place because he was supposed to be with his men. Everybody say, wrong place. He was there at the wrong time because at the time of war, you're supposed to be in the field as a king making war, not being at the castle, so he was there at the wrong time. Everybody say, wrong time. And he was obviously around the wrong people because the people he was supposed to be with were out warring, and the people that don't war, they were around the castle doing things like taking baths on the roof like Bathsheba. Say, wrong people. So he was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. He wasn't protecting his heart. He wasn't doing what he knew to do with his mind, his will, his emotions, with his heart. And as he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, he thought, I think she looks good. I don't really know who she is. Can you guys find out who she is and bring her over to me? Which I find is a really interesting thing in the Bible for David to say. I think he was covering his tracks before he even got started, because Bathsheba's grandfather, Ahithophel, he was actually one of David's 3 chief advisors. Bathsheba's father, Eliam, was actually one of David's 30 trusted men, one of the guys he counsels with around the table. And her husband, Uriah, was one of David's 300 mighty men that he actually warred with. He's fought with this guy time and time again. And so he even knows her husband. So he knows Bathsheba's husband, her daddy, and her grandpa. And he still said, I don't know who that girl is. Why don't you bring her over here and see me? When she comes to the castle, he violates her. She goes home and she finds out that she's pregnant. So David's really in a trick bag right now because all these people know her, know him, and he's not where he's supposed to be, at the right place at the right time with the right people. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, and he's gotten himself into a mess. And while he's in this mess, he says, I'll fix it this way. I will take Uriah and I will purposely put him on the front lines of the war, and that way he'll be killed. He effectively commits murder. Well, how many of you have not murdered anybody today? If it happened before today, don't raise your hand in church. We don't want to know about it. But he didn't. We haven't done things like this, but David went to this place. David did this thing. So a prophet comes to David. His name is Nathan, and he says, hey, King David, there's a man in your kingdom, and he owns all of these sheep, and he's rich, and he's plenteous, and he's living this really great life. But his neighbor lives in a tiny one-room shack, and he owns one little lamb, and he loves this lamb so much, he keeps this lamb in the house with him. Well, the rich guy, man, he just came in one day, bullied this dude, took his little lamb, took it back to his house, and threw it out in the fields with all the other sheep. What should we do to this rich guy? And King David got furious. He's like, that uncompassionate man who just has no brain at all. You kill him right now. I mean, judgment on this man. And the prophet Nathan looks at David and he says, King David, you're that man. You have concubines and wives and castles and riches, and yet you go and you take this man's one wife, and it's all that he had, and then had him killed. Well, you know, King David was the king, so he could have said, you know what, that's it. Off with your head. Get out of here. Or he could have said, get out of my castle and never come back. He could have banished him from the kingdom. But instead, he got in the right position and began to guard his heart again. And he got down on his knees, and he said, oh, God, forgive me. I didn't realize what I'd done. I am so sorry. And the thing is, we serve such a forgiving God and such a loving God that when we do go to him, when we do ask him for repentance, he does forgive us. He guards us. He protects us. He gives us mercy and forgiveness and lifts us back up. Bathsheba gets pregnant again with another baby. And as she has this other baby, this baby's name is Solomon. Solomon was the wisest king in the world, and Solomon was the richest king in the world. And Solomon is the one who said in Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart above everything else, for out of it proceeds the very issues of life." And I just wonder if it was a teenage Solomon that got called in for coffee with his dad, and his dad says, "Let me tell you the story of how you were born and how not to make the mistakes that I made. Son, guard your heart." That's what we're doing right now. We're sharing mistakes. We're sharing past. We're sharing just honestly with you and very conversationally so that you don't make the mistakes, so you can miss some of these pitfalls. If you're on that wrong road, so you can come full circle and get on that right road, that road of blessing, that road of health, that road of peace, that road of love, that road of joy that God has destined and created for you since the very beginning of time. Amen. God is a good God. Give him some praise. And there's only one other verse in the entire Bible that says, guard your heart. And that verse is when Paul says it in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In that verse, it says, do not be anxious about anything. And now that's kind of hard, right? If the checkbook's running low, if your car's running out of gas, if your kid has a fever, if the doctor gives you a diagnosis, if they're coming with layoffs at work, you can be distracted, right? And you start to get anxious about it. You lose sleep. You start imagining all the wrong scenarios. Does anybody in the house know what I'm talking about right now? He says, don't be anxious for anything. There was an 82-year-old man, and he went to the doctor for a physical, and the doctor told him to do some things and gave him some news. Well, the very next day, the doctor's taking his lunch break, and he sees this 82-year-old man with his arm around this 20-year-old supermodel just grinning from ear to ear like it's the best day of his entire life, and the doctor's a little bit concerned. So about 2 days later, the doctor calls and said, hey, I just want to check on you with the news that I gave you and see how things were going. And the man said, it was the best advice you'd ever given me. Get a hot mama and be cheerful. And the doctor said, that's not what I told you. I told you you have a heart murmur. Be careful. That man was anxious for nothing. He was having a good time and enjoying his life. And when we cast our cares upon him, when we give our cares to God, when we release the grip on life just a little bit, we can do that. The rest of that scripture goes on to say, but in everything, everybody say everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, we're not even going to be able to figure out why we feel so good. It will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. The word will guard us. The word will make us strong. We just have to trust the word. We have to trust God. And how many of you know that can be hard to do, to relax when things are getting tough? But there's a huge value in relaxing. It can change everything, including your tennis game. I love to play tennis. It's one of my favorite exercises, and I even have a tennis coach, which makes it sound like I'm good at tennis, which I'm not good at tennis. I actually suck. And that's actually why I got a tennis coach, because I was hurting my elbow. I ripped my tendon off my arm, which sounds very painful. It was, and you know, because I was playing tennis wrong. And I was kind of hitting, I didn't realize it until he videoed me, I was kind of hitting like this. And how many of you know, that's just not cool? So he's like, he's Scottish, and his voice is kind of like this, which is really weird because I thought all Scottish people sounded like William Wallace. And I thought it sounded like they were screaming, even if they were ordering ice cream. So he says to me, Nicole, what I want you to do when you hit the ball, I want you to relax. Just let it come. Don't panic. You panic when the ball comes. I'm going to hit you a ball. He hits me a ball. I go to hit it. And he says, no, no, no. Relax, relax, relax. Don't panic. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So he hits me another ball. The ball's not even past the net. And he's yelling, relax, relax, relax. Don't panic. And I'm like, well, how can I relax with you yelling at me? So he hits me another ball. And he says, relax, relax, relax. And when I relaxed, my racket went from here to here. I started lower, and when it hit the ball, it made this sound that sounded like heaven. It was just like, and I was like, that sounded so cool. He said, that's what happens when you relax. When you relax, you release your grip. Right now, you're trying to control everything, and you're doing it wrong. You can't control everything. You have to do you have to do the action the way it was intended to happen, and you can't do it correctly unless you relax. Everybody look at your neighbor and tell them, relax. Look at your other neighbor and tell them with attitude, tell them, relax. Relax, relax, relax. Andrew hit me the ball again, and he hit me the ball again, and I started relaxing. He'd yell at me about every third or fourth ball because I had to be reminded, relax, relax, relax. And about every third or fourth ball, it would come back up here because I'd try to start controlling it again, and he'd say, relax, 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 and I would hit it. And after about 30 minutes of doing that, I thought, Serena, who, I am coming after you, baby. I'm all that. I'm coming after you. The point of that story is this. When we relax doing it our way, when we relax and actually listen to the words that he's putting in our heart, when we relax and believe that God is stronger than our idea, when we relax and realize that God is stronger than the economy, when we relax and know that the stock market went down, but God's stock is still high, when we relax and know that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, when we relax and know that God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The way I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, it's been cut off and shown to be in the wrong. I know that when my enemies come at me one way, they're going to flee seven ways. I know that God is there for me. I am his baby. I was created in Christ Jesus. I am his masterpiece. And when you mess with me, you don't mess with the whole trailer park. You mess with God Almighty. Amen. And when we have the ability to relax, we begin to know that everything can be all right. When we guard our heart with the word of God, we know that God is going to move. When we open up this word, we know that God's got it. But here's the key. We have to cast our care upon him. And when we cast our care upon him, we know that we're going to be all right. And we know that God is going to be great, and he's going to be greatly to be praised. Was that okay for today?
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.